I put my coffee cup in the sink and left the kitchen. Maggie, our in-house cook and housekeeper, liked for us to at least put our dishes in the sink. On her first day, she found coffee mugs and soup bowls in the war room, and she'd thrown them away. "If you think I'm going to pick up after you lot like barons, you can bloody well think again. Put your dishes in the sink or lose them for good." I liked her immediately. Flynn did his best to stay out of her way. She was in her 50s, or so we guessed, since she refused to tell us her age. When I finally lifted my head, Ethan offered me a sad sort of smile that almost broke me.
"I'm so happy you aren't,"
he trailed off, the pain back in his tawny brown eyes. I cocked my head at him.
"So happy I'm not," I asked him, confused.
His chest expanded as he inhaled deeply, glancing down at himself.
"Oh,
I'm happy you aren't a vampire."
"But," I started, even more confused now. "I thought you wanted me to be your vampire bloodmate thing," I asked, and his hand fell from my wrist and he leaned back away from me. "If I was already a vampire, then I'd have said yes," I admitted, knowing that he wouldn't have already deduced that. I was sure they were all disappointed I wasn't changed. It surprised me to hear him say he was happy about it.
"I know," Ethan said, and now it was my turn to want him to look at me. "But I wouldn't wish this existence on anyone, least of all you."
Now that I could understand. I wouldn't wish it on anyone either. McCarthy is sure that someone, or something, inside its giant walls will help him to figure out where she is. The detective rolls his eyes when he spots his partner, Phil Davies, smoking and staring at his phone outside the front gates of Heppen House. McCarthy slams the car door behind him, nods at Davies, and walks the short distance to where he's standing.
"Are you undercover, mate? What's with the denim and that stain on your shirt? Have you been up all night or something?"
Davies didn't make it in for the morning meeting, and it isn't the first time he's looked so disheveled at work, either. McCarthy lets him know it's not going unnoticed, and Davies shakes his head dramatically in apology.
"Sorry, boss, I had another fight with Caroline and ended up driving off in a hurry. I stayed at a friend's place in Chalk Farm."
McCarthy responds with an unimpressed look and opens the small gate in front of them, leading to the stone's driveway. Davies quickly drops his cigarette to the ground, and as he follows McCarthy through the gate and across the graveled driveway, he changes the subject to Kate Stone.
"Hey, I googled this missing girl, and all I can say is wow. You never said she was a model. She looks like Cheryl Cole, man."
McCarthy silences his partner with a solemn look.
"When are you going to grow up, Davies? She's a missing person, not a potential Tinder date. You know, I can actually have a more mature conversation with my 4-year-old daughter. Get a grip."
McCarthy rings the doorbell and rolls his eyes. His patience is wearing thin. But Davies can't help himself, and after a few brief moments of silence, starts again.
"You know what the best thing is?"
McCarthy turns and glares at him, wide-eyed.
"What?"
He almost spits. Davies leans in closer and with a slight smile and a distinct twinkle in his eye, whispers.
"There's two of them. She's got a twin."
Turning us around, he headed for the door. Once we got outside, a burst of cool air hit my face, and I seized the opportunity to wrench free from his arm. Daddy was the best bedtime storyteller ever. I told all my friends their stories, even though Mama said I couldn't talk about those things. I didn't listen to her. I talk about them anyway because my daddy was the best daddy in all the world. And everyone needed to know it, especially Jackson Pierce.
"Harley, have you heard a word I said?"
she questioned again. "Yup," I replied, hopping my pee. I still wasn't listening. I knew what she was gonna say. It was always the same thing.
"Harley, you can't hit Jackson."
"Harley, why did you hit Jackson?" Harley, you have to stop hitting Jackson.
And what she said the most,
Harley, you're grounded.
This wasn't the first or the last time I'd be in trouble because of fart-breath Jackson Pierce.
Then what did I say? Mama asked, stopping in front of me, shaking her head.
That Jackson Pierce is a stupid, ugly-faced booger.
Hardly, Jameson.
He is.